And joining us today is Dr. Robin Cook. Robin is the author of, I guess I should probably say the inventor of the medical thriller, or one of the inventors of the medical thrillers. And Robin has come out with his latest book, Host. And we're going to talk a little bit about Host in just a minute. But first, Robin, thank you very much for being with us here today. It's an honor to be able to converse with you.
Well, thank you. It's nice to be here.
And was I mentioning earlier the fact that we were going to talk a little bit about, you know, you growing up, your background, and have you always wanted to write? Did you always write as a young child? I know a lot of us, I guess journals were journals at one time, and then they became diaries, and that was like a girl thing to do. And then journals started again. So then they became writing assignments, and those were really hard. But what about you as a writer? Have you always wanted to write?
Not really. I did get a diary for Christmas when I was in the sixth grade, and I recently found it. And the first day my entry was my New Year's resolutions, and there were going to be, I had three New Year's resolutions. One, I was going to be nicer to people. I don't know what I meant by that. Was I bad? Was I nasty? I don't know. Second was, I'm going to be better in school. Well, hey, you know, I was always a relatively good student, except when I got left back one year. And the third one was that I was never going to see another Frankenstein movie. So that was the extent of my writing ability when I was in the sixth grade. So to answer your question, no, I was always a big reader. From a very early age, as soon as I learned how to read, I said that I was left back, but unfortunately, I went to public school in New York City and PS 151, and I went through the second grade, moved out to New Jersey by my parents, and I couldn't read. I don't know what they taught me or what they didn't teach me, but I couldn't read, so I was supposed to start in the third grade, and they put me back in the second grade. So there you go. But luckily, as I progressed, then I skipped a grade, so I ended up where I was supposed to be.
And what kind of books did Robin like to read as he was growing up?
Initially, my favorite author was an author by the name of Stephen Meter, and he wrote boys' adventure stories. And I loved them, and he wrote quite a few. Gosh, maybe about as many as I've written now.
Quite a few.
Host is my 34th book, by the way, which surprises me, and it certainly would surprise my sixth grade English teacher. But anyway, I liked to read that when I was quite young. And then someone gave me a book on archaeology at a very early age. And I read that, and I became fascinated by archaeology at a very young age and thought that I wanted to be an archaeologist. And I started reading books about archaeology. And I think that my parents thought there was something wrong with me because I read so much about ancient Egypt. For some reason, that was the archaeology that impressed me the most. And then when I decided later on in high school that all the good buried cities had already been discovered and I should find something else to do. And it was in high school that I decided that I wanted to be a doctor. And we had a great family doctor and made house calls then. I can remember him making a house call with me and always... As you say, you don't like shots. Well, I didn't like shots then either because the needles that they had when I was young, they didn't have points.
Aye.
And you had to jab it in. And I got a couple of shots when the doctor made a house call. Anyway, I decided I wanted to be a doctor. And trouble with that decision was that when I got to college, to get to medical school, I knew I had to get good grades. I had to get all A's, and I didn't take all those courses like English or writing or literature or history because I knew that the grading was very subjective. So I stayed with quantum physics and physical chemistry.
The easy stuff.
Yeah, and it's really almost strange that I ended up being a writer. And I think what saved me was the fact that I had been a reader. If you're a reader, I think you can be a writer because you get to understand what it is that you enjoy. And since we're all more similar than we are different, that what an individual enjoys in terms of reading, most other people enjoy as well. That's why there is such a thing as a bestseller, because a lot of people enjoy it.
We are visiting with New York Times bestselling author Robin Cook, and Robin is the author of the latest medical thriller, Host. And Robin, as you mentioned earlier, the fact that there are so many bestsellers because people like to read a lot, and the fact that you went through medical school and then from medical school, at what point did you decide that you were going to try your shot at writing a book?
I decided actually after I'd only been at medical school 3 or 4 months. And the reason was is that within that very short period of time, I realized that the practice of medicine or the whole field of medicine was very different from what I thought it was by looking at it from outside and watching those TV shows. There were lots of TV shows about medicine in that era, Dr. Ben Casey, Dr. Marcus Welby, and
Dr. Kildare.
There'd been some movies like Not as a Stranger and Frank Sinatra. And I saw all those and I watched them all. And that was part of the reason I wanted to be a doctor. But I got there and it was very different. So I said, someday I'm going to write a book that's going to portray medicine as it really is and not how the public wants to believe it is. And that was actually, that decision is what turned me into a writer, because I had something to say and really felt that the public should know. And I felt that it was to the public's disadvantage to have this rosy attitude towards medicine that medicine didn't deserve. I mean, there can be miracles, etc., but there can also be tragedies. And hospitals are very dangerous places. You shouldn't go to a hospital unless you really need to go to the hospital. And that was my motivation. Of course, I had no idea about how to write a bestseller because I had never read one before I started writing. And indeed, my first book was the opposite of a bestseller. Nobody read it, and nobody bought it.
Was it my book?
No. I thought it was an interesting issue that I was going to write about. It was something that I knew the most about medicine at that early stage. I'd finished a surgical residency. I'd been through medical school, did a surgical residency, and then I got drafted, and I was in the military. And so I was going to write my first book about the way medicine really is. And so I wrote it about medical education, in other words, how we were and how I had been taught over the 4 years of medical school and all those years of residency training, etc. And I felt that our training was not, no wonder a lot of doctors end up not to be the altruistic individual that they started out to be because of the way the training was organized. I mean, we were really hazed to a large degree. So I wanted to write this book. But, you know, it's not a fun book to read. You read it. If you're interested in the issue, all right, you might find it so. It's a psychological sort of story. But it's not fun to read. And, in fact, it's a little disturbing. And so if it's not fun and it's disturbing, why would you want to read it? And that is when I said, all right, you know, the idea about using fiction to get the public to understand medical issues, I have to learn how or find out what are the tricks. How do you write a book that's actually fun to read? So that was the time when I turned and I read, I read 200 bestsellers. It was probably something like that. I mean, I got bestseller lists from years before, the bestseller list then, I got all these bestsellers, all the ones that people had voted that they liked by buying them and reading them, etc. And I realized that there was a rationale to it, that bestsellers in general tend to be fun to read. And I said, all right, now I have to do this in a way with my information. And let me give you an example. Did you ever read Jaws?
Yes.
I know it was quite a long time ago. But anyway, that was one of the books I read. That was, I think, the early 70s.
70s, yes.
No, late 60s.
Probably, yes, because 72 or something is when the movie came out.
Yes, so it was probably late 60s. And, you know, gosh, it was a fun book to read. It terrified me. And I said, all right, that's what I have to do. I have to write Jaws in the Hospital. And to carry, you know, real information, real issues, And we didn't have any great white shark, but we had something that was even more lethal, and that is the fact that what haunts hospitals? The worst kind of bacteria and bugs and whatever, and also systemic mistakes. How do you make a mistake? How does somebody, a whole hospital with all these people involved, and they take somebody into the operating room and they take the wrong kidney out? There's lots of problems, and it's not that I wanted to write about that in particular, because there are other social issues about medicine that are probably more important than just mistakes. And yet that was one of the issues, that hospitals are dangerous places. And that's what the next book, my second book, was all about. And strangely enough, this book, my 34th, is going back to some degree, because I've realized over the last few years, 5 years or so, that hospitals are even less safe now than they were when I wrote that second book of mine, was called Coma.
I was going to ask you about that, because I saw some similarities, but I'm not sure how you would respond to that, because I thought perhaps that, this is what the critics are saying. But I mean, regardless of whether it's the same or similarity, it's a great book.
Yeah. I mean, besides, it's been 30 years between, it's not like I can write a different book. But the characters in Host are a lot better than the characters in Coma. I really didn't understand characterization and how to do it. The pacing in Host is a lot better than in Coma. Again, I was like running around in a dark room when I wrote Coma. I mean, I had all these ideas about how to write a fun book, but there were a lot of things I didn't know, and a lot of things that I've been able to learn over the years. And I did it very, very purposely. In fact, my editor said, I think it's time to sort of revisit the Coma and see how much better you can write it now. And there is some similarities, but there's huge differences as well.
Now, what about the movie was not very good, not as good as the book?
Right. Well, that's always the case, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I only know one book movie in which I couldn't decide which was better, and that was The African Queen. Do you remember that?
Yes,
movie?
I do. I see the leeches.
Oh, it's a wonderful movie. And it's a wonderful book. I went, after seeing the movie and liking it, I had never read the book, but I saw the movie, and then I went back and read the book, and I said, gosh, this is a great book. This guy is such a good writer. And then I watched the movie again. I said, I can't decide which one I like better. But mostly, books are better than movies, and why is that? And the reason is because our own brains are much more fertile than, they say, an image is 1,000 words. Yeah, but your brain can bring up images with not a lot of information, and they're often better than what Hollywood can make. And so I think that's part of it.
We're visiting with New York Times best-selling author, award-winning author, Robin Cook. His latest book is called Host, and as you just heard Robin mention, it's a little bit kind of a revisiting 1977's book, Coma. You mentioned earlier about your first book, and I guess it's not The Year of the Intern that you were talking about, right? Because
no, it is.
Okay. Because that showed, I think, for people who want to be doctors and glamorize that, just how difficult it is to be an intern or to be a medical student.
Well, yeah, you go through quite a strange transition. But, it's very important for people to understand that, which is the real reason I wrote the book. And it was really written for people who are going to go through medical training, and because it's something that I think you have to fight against. What happens is that the humanity that you have because of the work circumstances, et cetera, the workload you have is horrendous, the hours are such, and that the humanity that you bring to that year, the first training year, which is the most rigorous of all of medical education, is such that you have to actively maintain or think about the issue that you can be hardened in a way. I mean, the character in Year of the Intern starts out as a very sensitive human being. He really wants to be a doctor. He's very altruistic. And by the end of the book, you realize that this person has changed over the course of this single year. And instead of realizing that he has this individual in room such and such who is a kindergarten teacher who's had some problems, has a chronic disease and this, that, and the other thing, and had to come in for surgery. At the end of the book, he'll say, in room 305, I have a gallbladder with some peripheral circulatory changes. I mean, it's this dehumanization that I think really takes away and makes someone less of a doctor. That was the issue that I wanted to put out. And it was also for the general public, it was for them to understand that there are some doctors, particularly surgeons, who don't seem to have the humanity that you would like or expect. And it's a way of explaining because of this training process. But at the same time, it's not necessarily a fun book to read. It's a little disturbing because you see through the point of view of this individual how this individual is changing, and it's uncomfortable. You don't like it. And that's not a way to get a lot of readers. And I can assure you that Host is a fun book to read, but it has some serious issues at its core, just as serious as what we're talking about in terms of that first book.
As you mentioned earlier at the beginning of the interview, the fact that you wanted to write issues that are facing, you know, the hospitals are not fun to be, some of the things that can happen in hospitals. And every book that you've written has hit the nail on the head regarding something that Americans or people in the world are going through, whether it be the Affordable Care Act or pharmaceutical companies raising the price of medication to whatever they want, to, again, the boot camp of medical school.
It is interesting because I have hit on, for instance, we're just finally emerging from one of the worst modern-day epidemics of Ebola. Just now, we're finally getting out of that. We've been struggling with that for several years. Well, I wrote a novel about Ebola called Outbreak. You might have seen that movie, too.
Yes.
And that was about Ebola, and I wrote that book in 1986 because I keep my ear to the track, so to speak, to listen to what's coming down the line. And I found a reference to this unbelievable pathogen that suddenly popped out of nowhere in the Congo and killed everybody in one of these small hospitals in this one little town. And they had to send some CDC people in there that went in there. I can't imagine the courage it took for them to go in, you know, to this hospital and look around. Everybody was dead. And then they had to find out what caused it. And they isolated this bacteria, this virus, rather, that they'd never seen before. But I found that, and I read it, and I read about some of the research that was being done, and I said, this is going to happen. This is going to explode in some form or in some way. And so I wrote that book in 1986. And here, didn't really happen until 2010 or 11, whenever that epidemic started in West Africa, this most recent one. So I've tried to be ahead of the curve. I noticed in the newspaper just yesterday there was an argument about how much women should be paid for their eggs for infertility use, and whether it was good to pay this, that, or the other thing. I wrote the book Shock. It was specifically about that,
yes.
Probably 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Because I knew it was going to become an issue. As soon as technology was advancing to the point where in vitro fertilization and implantation, et cetera, you can use, the problem of their infertility is the fact that they are not producing healthy eggs. Well, then they could get an egg and use the husband's sperm and then implant it, and they can have a child. And I knew that was going to be an issue.
We're visiting with New York Times bestselling author and award-winning author Robin Cook. His latest novel is Host. And you mentioned earlier about going back to a little bit of 1977's Coma. And people might wonder also, listeners, about your characters. And two of my favorite characters that I haven't heard from in a while, I'm just wondering about that, is Laurie Montgomery and Jack Stapleton.
Two of my favorite characters, too.
Okay.
of which I think I must have written like 10 books on those two.
At least.
I mean, yeah, something like that. No, very interesting characters, and And I guess Jack is a little bit, has some similarities to myself.
To you, I was going to say, yes.
Yeah, well, you know, I ride my bike in the city. I play the street basketball. And
you were an eye doctor.
I am an eye doctor, and he was an eye doctor. Of course, then he switched to become a forensic pathologist. And no, I think that they're wonderful characters. And she's this daughter of a doctor who is the kind of surgical personality that I was making reference to earlier. And that was very difficult for her. But they're both very, very carefully and well-drawn-out characters. I have had a lot of fun with them, and I intend to have a lot of fun with them in the future. And in fact, on my Facebook fan page, just recently when I was talking about the book, this host being released, and the characters and host at the end, you find out that they're fourth-year medical students, and they're going to be going to Boston for their residency training, so they're going to become up to the New England area.
Mm.
And I said on the Facebook page, I said, well, you know, maybe I can get them involved somehow with Jack and Lori, and then they can all sort of try to figure out what happened to Pia. And Pia was a character who is in Death Benefit and Nano. And the way I ended Nano is you don't know what happened to her. And I do that sometimes to some people's chagrin at the end of a book, because if I'm talking about a specific issue, and if you have a story, and then you wrap the story up and tie it up and pink bow and everything else, and everybody rides off in the sunset, my sense is that then you lose track of the fact of the major issue that my book is trying to get you to form an opinion or a conviction about or whatnot, and you think that, oh, well, everything got solved, the mystery is solved, and the bad guys have been exposed, etc. So that problem with nanotechnology and not really researching adequately what the other health aspects are going to be, and the ethics of it, et cetera, oh, that must be solved too. I don't know. Some people, you know, on my social media page there, I get a lot of people saying that they were upset about, you know, what happened to Pia? I mean, in a way, it's really fun in that I realize that even though it's fiction, these people got so caught up in it that they really think that, you know, what happened to her?
Yes.
I mean, you know, it's a narrative. It's a fictional narrative. So, I mean, whatever they want to have happened to her can certainly have happened to her. So it's fun. And it shows the power of fiction, which is another thing that warms my heart, because, as I say, when I started this, I wanted to write issue-oriented novels about medicine. I didn't want to write issue-oriented nonfiction about medicine, because I don't think that really changes people's beliefs.
And I think because when they read that it's fiction, they think, well, it can't really happen because this is fiction, and so I'm enjoying it and I'm having fun. But you, as you were mentioning, being ahead of the game in, was it Cell, I think, where you talked about apps and medical apps and all that stuff? It's going, yeah.
You know, I thought that was going to take 5 years. There's 100,000 of them already.
Yes.
Yeah, it's, I mean, technology is picking up speed, so to speak. What you would think is going to take a longer period of time, that time is collapsing, and things are happening so much faster today.
So what happens with your books, because of technology, with your books now being available as a Kindle book, an e-book, Audible book, whatever? Has that helped you?
Well, you know, my hope is that as many people as possible get to read my books First of all, it gives me a great satisfaction that if somebody says, you know, I read your book, I really liked it, I really enjoyed it, it kept me up at night. That's music to my ears, because that's what I try to do. You know, if somebody complains or a critic or this, that, or the other thing, I'm certainly not trying to write a book that people aren't going to enjoy. In fact, I make a big effort, and I try to do it the way, you know, what would I enjoy? Would I, you know, how would this story go? How much mystery? How much thriller aspect? And so I try to balance it out, and I don't like to have long scenes with conversations that can go on. Dostoevsky could get away with that, but I can't. You know, you have to keep the pot boiling. It's fun, and there's so many other things that are calling for people's attention that I feel like, okay, I have to compete against, you know, let's go on Facebook and check out this, or let's watch this TV show or stream this. Well, I'm in competition with that, so I really, really try to make something that's going to be fun to me to read, and then be provocative. I'm trying to entertain someone first, and then I'm trying to offer them information. Because the other thing, my books are really enjoyed by doctors. Because, you know, one would say, how can you write a novel that's going to be enjoyed by, say, someone who's spent 18 years training in medicine versus someone who doesn't know anything about medicine? Well, that's a trick, and the trick is by using the right terminology, et cetera, and having accurate science that might not resonate with the person who's not trained in science, but it doesn't matter. The story is still just as much fun, and yet on the other side, it can actually be enjoyed by someone who's involved in whatever the specialty is that I'm dealing with, because I do a lot of research before I write my books.
Well, Robin, certainly I have enjoyed myself, and it's no secret a journalist or an interviewer is supposed to remain objective, but I've been a big fan of yours for years, and so I was looking forward to this interview when Norm, our producer, set it up. So thank you so much for taking the time to be with us and to visit with us.
Well, thank you, Louis. It was a pleasure for me.
Thank you. We've been visiting with New York Times bestselling author and award-winning author, Dr. Robin Cook. Robin's latest book is Host, and you can find out more information about Host by going to Robin's Facebook page or to going to Amazon.com. Perspectives is taped and produced at the KTEP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Norma Martinez. Our producer is Dennis Wu. You've been tuned to Perspectives. I'm Louis Sines.